Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, sorry, not Aaron Andrews. Rick Tittle with you. What is going on? Great to have you with us. Rise and shine if you're a little hungover. Maybe you got to sleep in a little bit today. Live from the DGDG.com studios here on the 12th floor of the Intercom building in downtown San Francisco. I'm Rick Tittle. It's great to have you with us as we are going to get you set for live coverage of Oakland Raider football right here on your home of the Raiders, your home of the Silver and Black, 95.7 The Game. An extra half hour of this show today, as it is a 1:25 kickoff. The Carolina Panthers, the defending NFC champs, come to town. I'll send it over at 11:30 to Raiders opening drive in Raiderville. Of course, that's in the south parking lot. That'll be live with Townsend and Romanowski. If you get a chance, drop by. Wave to Townie and Romo. Be a part of the equation. We'd love to hear from you. And just love to hear from football fans in general. We're also going to go over the Niners' visit to Miami, as they are having a very forgettable season right now. And Niner fans, as Bill Clinton would say, I feel your pain. Because as a Raider fan, we started off 0-10 just a couple years ago. So let's talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the gorgeous right here. Get on in at any time you feel like it. 888-957-9570. Once again, 888-957-9570. And you can always shoot me a text on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. Once again, don't be shy. Just hit it up at 95795. I'm going to bring in David Fucillo, the head producer and editor for SB Nation's Niner Nation, in about a half hour. Tell us what's going on in his mind for the future of the red and gold, as things look a little bleak right now. And then our buddy Levi Damian, as always, the lead writer and editor for Silver and Black Pride, has been covering the Raiders for a long time. We'll bring in Levi at around 10:30. But as I say, y'all's and your calls, get in the queue. We'll talk to you. 888-957-9570. A couple of interesting notes as the day begins concerning perhaps the Raiders. Well, this one definitely, we hope, and that is that the NFL reportedly will rule on Aldon Smith's reinstatement request this week. And it's funny how when Aldon Smith got his eligibility back, and which was a few weeks ago, at least what we thought the suspension was over, that the commissioner had a 60-day period to respond to that. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I don't even play one on the radio. I don't understand after a year the commissioner is like, I'll get back to you within 2 months. I guess it's basically because I got bigger fish to fry than to talk to some bad apple. I'll get to you when I feels like it. And so apparently that's going to go down. I know that this morning in the Chronicle, Scott Osler had written, what's the deal? Why don't you get on it? But according to ESPN.com, Smith spent 120 days in a rehab center after a video of him and a woman, which appeared to be him, appeared to be his voice, was posted to Periscope with smoking weed. The Raiders, though, are told to be called cautiously optimistic that he will be reinstated. So do you want Aldon Smith back? I certainly do. I think, if Aldon Smith can get back to half the player he was in his heyday, that still would be a tremendous player. That'd still be a guy that would give you 5-6 sacks. I would take every one of those sacks, especially to the depleted line. You think about McGee being banged up. Of course, Edwards with the neck injury, a long time absentee. I'd love to have him back. The Raiders would tell you that the entire time Aldon has been with the team, he's been a model teammate and a model player. Nothing has sent him over the edge, and we know about the multiple DUIs and the weapons charge and the bomb scare, fake bomb scare at the airport. All of that stuff has not entered into Raiderville, so to speak. All right, another thing that we heard about today is that the Chargers might now be making some headway to go to Los Angeles with Stan Kroenke and share the stadium with the Rams. And this is a report I saw on CBS Sports. And the Chargers, of course, will continue to investigate playing games in 2017 and 2018 at maybe the StubHub Center in Carson. That is where the LA Galaxy play, is a soccer stadium. Now, remember, Carson was the place that Dean Spanos was going to go with Mark Davis and build a stadium there. Was that the deal? I thought the deal was he was going to move in with Kroenke. So there's nothing real to report there just yet. There's just some rumblings, fumbling, bumbling, rumblings, stumblings about that. And I sort of figured that Dean Spanos was getting cold feet on the whole thing with Kroenke. I don't think he likes Kroenke very much. And Spanos, you know, saber rattled. I'm moving. I didn't get my new stadium. And then when he didn't get in with Mark Davis, yeah, you can go be in with Kroenke. You have a year to decide. Well, maybe he's going to take that as, I thought I had a year to just go to LA in general, which I think he probably would be able to pull off. We'll see about that. But I sort of felt like as the time has gone by, and even with the ballot measure being crushed in San Diego at election time a couple weeks ago, and of course they needed two-thirds, 66.7%, I'll round it off so it's not Satan's address, and they only got about 41%. Which I said on these airwaves, and anyone who's lived in this state long enough will tell you, you're not going to get a dime. You're not going to get a penny of public money for a stadium in California. It just doesn't work like that here. So I kind of thought after Spanos had said, my kids were raised here, I want to stay, and they have a multiple-year lease, still not at Qualcomm, Jack Murphy, whatever you want to call it, that he was going to stay. Saquon Stadium. So maybe he's not. How does that affect the Raiders? Well, remember, that was always something that Mark Davis had in his back pocket, that if something didn't work out with L.A. Or with Vegas, if something didn't work out in Oakland, that he could always go there if the Chargers said we were going to stay. I think most Raider fans, I'll speak for them, I know I speak for myself when I say that I would love to see that option go away. Because I'm someone that, as a third-generation Oaklander, would love to see them stay right here. And there was more news this week with the hashtag framework, the word that Mayor Libby Schaaf in Oakland threw out, that there was a framework in place for the consortium of Silicon Valley investors led by Ronnie Lott, former Niner and Raider great, that maybe they had a stadium deal in place. Now, that doesn't mean that Mark Davis has to agree with it. In fact, Mark Davis, after this news was going around the national media circuits, that he went and called Vegas and said, don't worry, we're still committed to you, which is something that he has to do. He has a deal in place there. That's a tangible thing. Even if he wants to stay, he would still have to tell Vegas, I'm with you. It'd be stupid business to say, hold on a minute, I'll get back to you on that. Nobody wants to feel like they're a second banana or a fail-safe. Now, would Oakland build this stadium and have the Raiders leave? What, would Laney College have a 60,000-seat football stadium? I don't know. Maybe it's too late. I know Ronnie Lott said the clock is ticking. Libby Schaaf has said the clock is ticking. I've always said before, if you look to your mayor to save your sports teams, I think you're looking in the wrong place. Libby Schaaf had four police chiefs in a week this year. She has a lot of things going on. And if a team is a public entity, then yes, I 100% would blame the mayor for the fortunes of a stadium. But the team is a privately held company. And even though our heartstrings are attached to it and a lot of jobs and revenue and civic pride come from that private company, they're owned by a dude or a lady. That's who they're owned by. And for them to say, where my stadium at, y'all, I don't think anybody should have to bow down for that. I think it helps to be on good terms. I think it helps to recognize that sports are important, which Libby Schaaf does recognize that it is important. I understand why she would make the A's a priority. That makes sense. They have 10 times more home games, and even though the attendance isn't the same as the NFL, and even though the A's don't have the ambition to win like the Raiders do, that's still 81 home dates of jobs in the town. So that's why it would make sense for her to put the ace first. Mayor Kwan, you can criticize her, but at least she lifted a finger with Coliseum City, Victory Court, and some other ideas. The mayor's before that, no. So we'll keep our eye on it. Want to hear from you, 888-957-9570. We know that the Raiders are at the Coliseum this year. We know the Raiders are at the Coliseum next year. So we also know the Raiders are in first place. And coming off a short week, coming from La Ciudad de Mexico, where they were triumphant, and facing a team in Carolina that had a long week as they played Thursday Night Football. All right, 888-957-9570. Let's go to the phone lines. John in Concord, you're our first call of the day. What's up, man?
Hey, good morning. Hey, go Raiders. Hey, I'm opposed to having Alden Smith back. This is my point. Let's say Greg Papa was passed out with a horn honking like he was in his black truck. You know, that was his third time, I think. Oh, let him back on the air. You know, they've got a good vibe going on in the locker room. But this is my thing. If Goodell denies Alden Smith back in the league, that's what you want to see if the young man keeps doing what he's doing. If he is, you know, if he doesn't, they don't let him come back to the Raiders, let's just make sure that he gets his life together. But I would like to see him not on the team just because they have a great chemistry of guys and not to influence the younger guys, you know. As my dad used to say, my dad flew in the Navy, you put one bad sailor with one good sailor, you get two bad sailors. So,
all right.
There you go.
All right. Thank you very much. My dad was in the Navy, too. I think he'd probably say you just put him in the boxing ring in the hangar deck, usually when you would get the one and the one good and one bad. John, I understand what you're saying, and you make sense. I disagree on a personal level. I'm not here to morally judge somebody. I'm here to win football games. Now, if this was a Ray Carruth situation, if this was a Ray Rice situation, if he did something, you know, Lawrence Phillips, the late, great Lawrence Phillips, God rest his soul, if it was one of those deals with violence, with some sort of crime that is hard to overlook, then I'd be with you. I don't care how good that guy plays. I don't want some wife beater on my team. And that's why Ray Rice doesn't play anymore. You think that he still didn't have some talent? He did. If he didn't have that, he would have at least have been in a camp a couple of years ago. Alden Smith made some very immature, stupid mistakes. Would I hire Alden Smith for my company, like whatever your company is? No, I wouldn't. But for my football team, with a defense that has been a sieve most of the year, yes. So everybody has their own. If you say he's a bad apple, you have every right to think that. I think he just was dumb a lot, and hopefully he learned his lesson. And what he did was not, to me, evil enough to say, you are really, really a bad guy. Now, if you say, hey, it's in his best interest to not let him keep coming back and make mistakes, I'm not his dad. Okay, I'm a Raider fan, and I want the Raiders to win, and I want the Raiders' defensive ends and linebackers to get sacks. That's what I want. So Alden Smith, to me, is more than welcome back here. Frankie, in our former state capital of Benicia, what's going on, man?
What is up, Rick Chittle? I was just calling to talk about the stadium. I'm wondering, where do we go outside of Oakland? Because I really don't think that's the place for Raiders and A's. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm going to say that, yes, that they belong here. This is where they've had their most success. Obviously, the Raiders did win a Super Bowl in L.A., but they won two here. The A's had success in the old days in Philadelphia, but for long, long times, the A's were the worst team in baseball under Connie Mack. They were a Yankee farm team in Kansas City. So to me, this is where they've had their success. This is where those teams belong.
You know what? I love that. And you know what? I'm a diehard A's fan, love my A's. I'm just thinking, how do you ever get out of the shadow of San Francisco? I mean, that's a tough place to play in Oakland. I mean, when you're competing with fans that love the teams in the city.
Well, for me, Frankie, I think in this area, which has 6 million people, there's more than enough interest and more than enough money to go around. I have no doubt in that. Per capita, the millionaires in the Bay Area, it's extraordinary. It's just a matter of a lot of people. You know, I really do feel that there are 10,000 diehard loyal Giants fans and 10,000 diehard loyal A's fans that will go even if they're the worst team in baseball. everybody else is just along for the ride. And I understand that. You work hard, and if somebody looks like they're not committed as an owner and the team stinks, you're like, I'll save my $60 on a ticket and parking and a beer. I understand that. So once you start winning, you'll see it come back. I remember that game, the game that A.J. Griffin started against the Rangers where Josh Hamilton dropped the ball in center field. You couldn't. Yeah, I was there too. You couldn't move at the Coliseum. It was so packed. Why? Because they were winning and they were exciting. So I understand what you're saying about that. But people love a winner, Frankie.
You're absolutely correct. Well, right on, Rick. I appreciate the time and have an awesome day.
All right. Thank you, Frankie. He's got kind of an interesting radio voice there. Have an awesome day. Thank you, Frankie. Benicia is a nice little town, by the way. All right. Let's contrast all that by looking at the Niners here. And as I said, we've got David Fucillo from SB Nation's Niner Nation. We've had him on many times. Guy knows the Niners. San Francisco is in Miami today, and they are trying to do something. They're trying to, I should say, avoid something they've never done before, and that is to lose 10 games in a row. They won their first game of the season under Chip Kelly, just like they did under Jim Tom Sula. And it's like, wow, maybe the Niners aren't bad after all. I picked the Niners to win 6 games. That looks kind of dumb now, but two teams headed in the opposite direction. As the Miami Dolphins started off at 1-4, and Adam Gase, you know, a guy that had interviewed with the Niners and twice with the Niners, and I'm sure a lot of Niner fans were like, you know what? I'm kind of glad we didn't hire that guy. He's not that great anyway. Well, they won the last 5 games, and now the Dolphins are in with a chance of the playoffs. We'll get to that in just a second, but the callers come first. Paul in San Ramon, what's going on, man?
How you doing today, Rick?
Doing all right, thanks.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to touch on that last guy's point, and I think you'll back me up on this one. The Haas family owned the A's. They drew over $3 million a year. Before Mount Davis was built, Sports Illustrated rated the Coliseum one of the best places in the country to watch a baseball game. At the same time, the Giants put about 800 fans a night in Candlestick Park when they were staking it up over there. So clearly the A's can draw. You're absolutely right. Be good, and they will come, you know?
All right.
That's all I got.
Yeah, thank you. And I know that I know a lot of people, and I talk to guys who they have a lot of animosity towards San Francisco, that Oakland's in the shadow. I don't feel any of that inferiority, none whatsoever. And I grew up in a time where the Giants and the Niners were so pathetic that there was no reason to hate them. They played in different conferences. They played in different leagues. They still do, by the way. And for some reason, people think that they're rivals. They might be rivals for your dollar. They might be rivals when you go to school or you go to work or in your own household when you tease or goad each other if you have the Niners and Raider fans in there. But I try to stress to people when they say, oh, you know, who's the Raiders' biggest rival? You'll say, the Niners. And I'm like, no. No, they can't not be the rival. They're in a different conference. I do remember as a kid, I asked my dad once when I was little, I said, why not the A's play the Giants? And he goes, they're in two different leagues. They can't. They can only play in the World Series. And I thought, that's so stupid. You're telling me that the Atlanta Braves are in the National League West and the White Sox and the Royals and the Twins are in the American League West, but we can't play the Giants when they're just right over there? I said, nope. That's just the way it is. But, yeah, they're not rivals. And I know a lot of the people who hate the people in Oakland that hate San Francisco and the people in San Francisco that hate Oakland, I don't really get it, to tell you the truth. I'm an Oakland guy. I've worked in San Francisco since 1989. I'm an Oakland fan, but I don't know. There are a lot of people that like both teams. I'm a one-team guy, but that's my choice. I've never understood people who get angry when they see a split capper. Pick a team, man. Why would you care who a stranger roots for? That's like being bothered by their religion or something. What religion are you? Not yours. Come on, man. Get with it, dude. Pick a team, man. Like, don't bring a baseball glove to a game. Don't wear a jersey. Don't wear a hat with an animal. I'll never be the guy who says, stop having fun. I don't really like the wave. But I don't mind it. You know why? Because people are having fun. Maybe they're distracting the players. Well, they're big boys. They're getting paid a lot of money. They can get over it. I'm just not going to be a stop having fun type of guy. I'm here to tell you to have fun. Something that, as I segue, back to the Niners. Did you see that there? It's a tale of two teams heading in different directions. And I mentioned the past. Another Chronicle did a big rundown on the 1978 Niners. A team I remember very well. I was in the eighth grade at the time. I have a lot of friends and family that were cousins that were Niner fans. But the one thing before that season even began, the Niners cut Jim Plunkett, a team that was going to go with Steve DeBerg and Scott Bull at quarterback. And Al Davis picked him up. Once again, going back to my dad, who still to this day knows better than I do, I said, this is humiliating. The Niners, the laughingstock, just cut a quarterback. Why would we pick him up? He sucks. He stinks. My dad said, no, it's smart. He's a vet. He won the Heisman. He played on a ridiculous team for the Boston Patriots, as they were called back then. All he did was get sacked. He played on a pathetic Niner team. It's good to have a vet like that just in case. And I said, I disagree. Well, he won two Super Bowls, as we know. He's now a Raider and Bay Area legend and a great guy. The question I have for the Niners now, moving forward, and I just wonder for Kaepernick if football is almost like a distraction to him. And what I mean by that is when you work on your craft, and you're talking about the greatest football players on the planet, and you have to put Kaepernick in that same category because he's an NFL, he's a multi-year NFL player, he's taken the team within one bad fade call inside the 10 to being a Super Bowl champion. To keep up with those other guys, you have to remain committed. Now, I talked to Matt Maiocco about this, of course, the CSN Niner Insider, who's on this show, this station a lot. And he says Kaepernick puts in all his work, first guy to get there, last guy to leave. And that doesn't surprise me that Kaepernick does do that. I just wonder where his head is. Because if you are, and forget, let's just put aside the admiration for Fidel Castro and kneeling for the national anthem, whatever. He can do whatever he wants. And I can tell you, once again, like with Split Cappers, I could not care less what a complete stranger does politically. Okay, unless he or she is a policymaker and it's going to affect us, that he can do whatever he wants. And growing up here with Bay Area sensibilities, people booing and kneeing the national anthem, that's so old hat around here. This is the rest of the nation was shocked. I think people around here probably weren't that shocked. I think we're kind of used to people protesting. As they say, peaceful protests, you can do it all you want. You know, this country allows you that. The thing I'm wondering about Kaepernick is that he's giving away $1 million and he's doing it piecemeal with $25,000 chunks. Now, altruistically, philanthropically, that's outstanding. How many people can he help? And the answer is a lot. Or as we say in Oakland, hella. He can help hella people. And this isn't just Bay Area. It's all over the United States. And I don't know, maybe beyond, but I know that it's all over the United States. How can you get a game plan? How can you go over the Miami Dolphins defense and do all that whilst simultaneously thinking about divvying up $1 million and $25,000 installments? So maybe he can. But I look at Cap now and I almost think that football might just be a distraction instead of the priority. I don't know. We'll take a quick break. And on the other side, I'm going to ask the same questions to David Fucillo. He covers the Niners like a glove. Rick Tittle, come on back. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
This sounds like the music when the Raiders are stretching. They always play stuff like this and they kind of like pop into the beat. Rick Tittle with you. What's going on? We are getting you ready for Oakland Raider football. I'm going to send it over to Townie and Romo. Live at the Coliseum in the South parking lot, Raiderville. Drop by and say hi to Uncle Townie. For now, it's Aunt Tittle with you, and we'll be here until 11:30, as I said. And quiet. Right now, we are very happy to welcome David Fucillo. He writes for Niners Nation on SB Nation. And obviously, the lead storyline today is to avoid that 10th straight loss. And I know that ever since Adam Gase went to the running game, that the J train has been doing pretty well. And now the Dolphins are on a roll. What chances do you give San Francisco to get a road victory today, David?
Well, I mean, you've got the Dolphins coming off a 14-10 win over the Rams last week. They won in the last minute. I think the best chance is if the 49ers can jump out to an early lead. You've got a Dolphins team that's won 5 straight, but they haven't exactly won pretty, which, I mean, you know, wins are wins, especially if you're the 49ers, but there's a chance for a letdown.
You know, when I look at Kaepernick now, I was just talking about this, when I look at him, the first thing I think of now is not, I mean, even during a game, I don't think, hey, he's a quarterback. I think of, you know, the fact that he's given away $1 million, which is great, sort of piecemeal, $25,000 chunks. He's, of course, been very vocal, perhaps put his foot in his mouth on the Fidel Castro thing, but he's free to say whatever he wants. And I almost think, I wonder, even though he's still a hard worker, if football is his priority, maybe football's a distraction. Where do you have any take on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, certainly an interesting question, just in the idea that it's hard to tell, because obviously the things that he's demonstrating against, the things he's talking about, are more important than football. I think we can all agree that the issues he's brought up are important. And so, yeah, I mean, you do wonder, it's like, well, you know, once this season ends and he's potentially a free agent, especially if teams are not willing to go after him, in part because of the, you know, the social issues, it's going to be interesting to see how his career unfolds after this, and if he has a career after this.
I'm just wondering now if Chip Kelly has lost the locker room, because I think a lot of times in football, it's probably the one sport outside of maybe the NBA where you can see a team kind of give up early in the game. Now, talking to people who follow the Niners, they say that they still think the Niners are fighting. They haven't given up just yet. But we also know that losing 9 games in a row can cost people jobs. And look at the Raiders with their 0-10 start a couple years ago. How do you think the effort is with the team, and what is Kelly's hold on his charges at this point?
Well, if you look at the last few games, you see a team that comes out and actually looks pretty good in the first half. They were trailing 13-10 at the half against the Patriots. They took the Arizona Cardinals to the wire. So I don't think the team has quit on Chip Kelly. I think the bigger issue, of course, is the lack of talent. When you don't have much in the way of wide receivers, your offensive line is struggling to run block. Your defense just can't seem to do anything right half the time. So I think that's not an issue yet. But again, like you said, you've lost 9 straight, and things are continuing to turn south. And, this is a tough game against Miami, but next week they go to the Bears and they host the Jets. And those are 2 games where if they lose those as well, then it'll be interesting to see how the players react when they start losing to teams that are as bad or pretty close to as bad as them.
You know, it's funny. I think most of us would have said there was no way Cap was coming back this year after the surgery, and they basically told him to go home, don't even stand on the sidelines. And yet here he is, the starting quarterback. So I'm not going to say he won't be back next year, even with the adjusted contract. But I would still, if I'm a betting man, say that he's going to be gone. What do you think the chances of that is? And also, to your point, as Kaepernick, if you look at the stats, is very good in the first half. And then whether the defense makes adjustment or whatever, he's pretty pathetic in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to figure out a lot of these issues that are going on in the second half. I mean, it's possible the coaching isn't doing enough to adjust. Teams are adjusting to Kaepernick and he's not, readjusting. But as far as the future, it's tough to tell with this 49ers team in particular, because we don't know what's going to happen with Trent Baalke or Chip Kelly or any of the organization. It would be my guess, the best bet I think would be that Trent Baalke's gone and Chip Kelly stays, and then Tom Gamble is promoted over Baalke. But it's possible they decide to overhaul the entire organization. And I think Colin Kaepernick's decision to stick around, and also whomever the GM may or may not be, their own decision what to do with them, will play into it. My guess is it would be hard to bet on him sticking around or being kept around, even, because again, he can exercise that option, but then the 49ers can turn around and release him after that.
Rick Tittle, 957 The Game, with David Fucillo of Niners Nation on SB Nation. A couple more questions for David. I think Chip Kelly's job is safe. I wouldn't think they would go one and done in back-to-back years. You never know, but I would think that it would be safe, especially as Chip Kelly has had some success in the NFL. But Trent Baalke right now, I mean, the abuse he's taken, I think punching bags and pincushions are looking at him and blushing at this point. But, of course, that comes with a job if you want to be a GM in professional sports. You mentioned Gamble. Do you think a lot of Niner fans would be satisfied with staying in-house? Because we know Eddie. We know Jed is very loyal to his guys. Or do you think that they might say, look, we need to go outside. We need some new ideas. I mean, they tried that with Chip. But do you think that Gamble would be a shoo-in then?
No, I mean, I think anybody other than Baalke would please 49ers fans. I think they've seen how this has gone, and they would be happy for any kind of change. I think they would, a complete overhaul would go over better. But the big issue is if you bring in a new GM and it's not Tom Gamble, are they, usually the GM wants to hire the coach or at least have some kind of say in the hiring of the coach. And can you really afford necessarily to say, well, you have to have Chip Kelly as your coach? That could end up being a non-starter for replacing.
When I look at the draft and I'm looking at the quarterbacks, and a lot of people are really souring on all of them, from Kaiser to Watson to Trubisky, saying that there is no sort of Andrew Luck in this draft. The Niners, would they be better served, do you think, taking one of those great defensive ends early and shoring that up, just letting the big board talk to them, whoever they rate the highest? Because a lot of teams say they do that. I don't believe them. And then maybe taking a look at a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo or Tony Romo, someone like that, to come in and be the quarterback.
Yeah, I think that actually could make sense. And I think given the state of the 49ers franchise, I think you have to just go best player available, even if it's repetitive to, to having drafted Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. I think you want to look at the best players available. In reality, it might make sense to trade down. If somebody out there really wants one of the quarterbacks, or if Jonathan Allen or Myles Garrett, the two top defensive guys, are there, you may be able to find a pretty strong haul of picks. And this team just needs good players. And the more draft picks you have, the more higher draft picks you have, the more bullets you have to find some of those players.
The last thing this defense needed was to have one of their best players in Reed go out, and now he's done. Jaquiski Tartt comes in, who's got a lot of playing time. He's relatively high picked. I think for most Niner fans, they'd hate to see Reed go, but Tartt isn't like getting somebody off the street. He's capable, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He replaced Antoine Bethea last year. Bethea is going to be entering the last year of his contract next year. He and Reed are both technically assuming, again, the 49ers have a fifth-year option on Reed, which I think they'll continue to hold just because it's fairly inexpensive. But with both Reed and Bethea potentially free agents after the 2017 season, you need to figure out what you have behind them. And Tartt is a guy with a ton of athleticism. I think he's a bit more of a guy that would line up in the box than be a center field guy, but he's going to get a lot of opportunities to do both this year.
Carlos Hyde going back to his home state of Florida today, and the Dolphins' run defense near the bottom of the league. Is it too simplistic to say just give Hyde 30 touches, or would it be dumb to not do that?
No, they need. I mean, if they're going to win this game, it's going to be primarily because of Carlos Hyde. The Dolphins' pass defense, their pass rush, has been particularly good this year. They ranked fifth in the NFL in one metric. In pass defense, but then in the middle of the pack in the run game. And Hyde last week looked a lot better. He returned 2 weeks ago from the AC joint sprain, and you could tell he looked tentative. He was dancing a bit. And then last week we just saw him attacking the line. And so, yeah, I think he's a guy that you want to get 25-plus carries and just let him carry this team.
A lot of people have made a deal about Adam Gase, of course, not just one but two interviews before Jed settled on Jim Tomsula is a head coach, and I think Gase did very well, and whether he meant it or not, he took the high road saying, loved my time there, love everybody in that stadium, thank you so much for two interviews, it helped me get the Dolphins job. Do you think they look back and wish they had hired Gase, or is he not that much of a star to them?
Well, I think, the 49ers ownership will tell themselves that, that he isn't much of a star to them, but yeah, I think that would, anything would have been better than Jim Tomsula, and I think most people realized that Jim Tomsula was not going to be a good head coach, and maybe who knows, maybe it would have worked out in another situation, but the fact that, you know, conceivably it could have been Adam Gase and Vic Fangio there, you know, with Fangio running the defense, I think could have been something. But again, you know, that's all what it could have, should have at this point.
I guess when you look at the Niners averaging just over 20 points scored per game and giving up more than 31 on average per game, those numbers are quite telling, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a mess. They just, you know, I mean, you know, obviously they're losing a lot of players to injury, and that's a very significant, but it's, I think a lot of people, again, you know, when you bring in the kind of people they have, the coaches they have, it's not exactly shocking that it's gone south like this.
All right, that's David Fucillo. You can read him on SB Nation. For Niners Nation, follow him on Twitter at David Fucillo. It's F-U-C-I-L-L-O. David, thanks again for your time, especially on a Sunday. Try to enjoy the Niner game, and we'll talk to you soon.
We're just rooting for that number two pick.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. You know what? I would rather win games. It depends. We'll get to that next. Rick Tittle, come on back on the other side, 95.7 The Game.
This is the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
Man, sounds like Caesar's walking in or something. Thank you very much for that. Wes, the captain of the controls. Lucas on the horn. Come on in and be a part of things. Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game. Good morning. Happy Sunday morning for you. Very excited to bring you Oakland Raider football live on your home of the Silver and Black. Of course, kickoff around 1:25 as the defending National Conference champions Carolina Panthers come to town. We'll send you over to Raiderville Live with Chris Townsend and Bill Romanowski at 11:30 in the south lot of the parking lot. Feel free to get in. Perhaps you're on your way and tell us your feelings on the game. It's funny because when I was at the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, if you had told me that the Panthers would be coming to town the next year and that the Raiders would be favored, I would have said, bleh. You know, the Raiders were definitely trending up, but they were still a losing team. And it's funny how many people said the Raiders had a good season. Well, it wasn't a good season. It was an improving season. And I don't know how old you are, but I don't know what your standards of excellence are. If you have a losing season, that's what it is. It's a losing season. I'm not Tom Cable and jump up and down when you go 8-8 and say, we're not losers anymore, and then Al fired them. I hold every Bay Area team to a championship standard. Everyone. Even my Sharkies now that they've been to the Stanley Cup final. I used to not hold the Giants there. You have to hold the Giants there, and they're holding up their end of the bargain. I hold the A's there, even though they don't have much ambition when it comes to winning on the field. I hold them to championship standard. I'm not one of these thanks for the ride type of fans, which may sound a little bit jaded. I'm not one of these guys like, oh, at least we made the wild card. And Lester choked and Doolittle blew a save and they gave it up. So, but thanks for the ride. No, that was a ride where you saw these great views, the pyramid, the Cheops, the Eiffel Tower, and then you went off a cliff and blew up. That's you don't say thanks for the ride when it comes to that type of stuff. But it is nice because as the home of the Raiders and working in broadcasting in this town and sports television and radio since 1989, how many times did we say, hey, the Raiders are coming up? And then there was this sort of underlying theme. Too bad they stink. You know, it was great last Monday at the Pick Six Sports Lounge in Pleasanton, and I did a show there from noon to three live with Greg Papa, who was at Estadio Azteca. And I was just thinking, you know, a lot of times we do these events at sports bars. Hey, everybody, get ready for Raider football. Just don't tell anyone they've lost 10 games in a row. So we're always fired up. When your team plays, it's always exciting. Even when they stink, it's always like, I can't believe I get to go. There are landlocked people all over the United States. There are people overseas who'd give their eye tooth to be able to go to the Coliseum today. And I used to think that even when the Raiders were lousy, and that was an easy thing to think about because they've been lousy since I walked out of that Super Bowl. In fact, I did leave a couple minutes early. I missed Gannon's fifth interception in that game. If you told me that it would be 2016 and the Raiders still wouldn't have a winning season, I would have said, stop lying. Or I would have said higher, stop lying, more like that. And the reason is because this sport, failure is rewarded with high picks and quote-unquote easy schedules. You have to contrive to stink. You have to go out of your way to actually stink, which is kind of lame. That's what you have to do. You have to go out of your way, and it's just not just bad luck, okay? So it is nice, and with a Raider victory, just to say they're a winning team would be great. But that's not what I'm about. It's about championships. Now, I understand there are 32 freaking teams. You can't win a Super Bowl every year. You don't want to trade your entire future for one season, right? You want to be smart about it. You try to be smart about it. You try. But, you know, you look at the draft where, you know, I was just, speaking with David Fucillo, and he said, let's hold on to that number two pick. I don't think that way. Number one, tomorrow's not promised to any of us, not to be morbid or macabre and say that a meteor is going to hit the earth, but I've seen too many drafts blown. I've seen too many number one overall picks wasted. If I'm going to, because you'll make more money in your life, you won't make more time. Just remember that. You'll always make more money, but you'll never make more time. If I'm going to spend a day of my life, and you know this, going to an NFL game is a day. It's not something that you, it's not like going to a movie. A movie, you can do stuff both before and after. An NFL game is pretty much your entire day, and it's a lot of cash. But beyond the cash, it's your time. I'm never in my life going to go to a Raider game and hope that they lose. You're blowing it. Now, the only time ever, and I'll admit this because you don't want to ever have these hard and fast rules and not be flexible. I'm open to learn, Sensei. Grasshopper is here for you. But when it got down to the Rams and the Colts for the number one overall pick, and it was Andrew Luck, and it was that field goal that went through, and the Rams won that game, which meant the Rams were going to pick second. People in St. Louis were like, what are you doing? Well, they were in a quandary, I think. What happened? I think the Rams would have passed on Andrew Luck because they had just signed Sam Bradford to an extension. What they ended up doing, of course, was trading down, got all these picks for RG3, and they took all those picks basically and turned around and threw them away on Jared Goff, who they just now are starting to play. But that spared them some blushes. I think if it was down to a field goal on the last play of the season, and I knew if Janikowski missed, we were going to get Andrew Luck, and if he made it, we were just going to get, I might secretly hope that he would miss. I might, but that would have to be a really, really, I would not hope that for Deshaun Watson, and I hope that kid's a great player. He's immensely talented. I wouldn't hope that for Deshaun Kizer. I wouldn't hope that for Mitch Trubisky or any other quarterback that's going to get hot and cold before the combine. I can't think that way because I'm really going to go put all my Raider gear on. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to watch people throw up in front of me. I'm going to see two fistfights. I'm going to smell all sorts of weed smoke. I'm going to have people screaming in my ears to hope that they lose. No. So I've gotten that a lot. People say, oh, the Raiders just need to lose out here. What? If you're a vampire, then I understand that. You're going to live forever outside of a silver bullet or a wooden stake by the one you love or the one who loves you. I don't know. Wes, what are the vampire rules? Does the person, he's like, what are you talking about? I interrupted his text. All right. He says he's going to ask his girlfriend. That sounds bad, actually. What are the rules about vampires? Let me ask my girlfriend. She's a vampire expert. But my point is, I will always root for my team to win. It's just, and that's the thing. Like, it's like when you go to like an A's game this year. We all knew that the A's stunk. We all knew they were going to lose 90 games again. But you want them to win because even the worst team in baseball is going to win 60 times. And even the best team in baseball is going to lose 60 times. In the NFL, a loss is a punch in the stomach. It's a kick in the crotch. It's in your craw, your cockles, your solar plexus, whatever else you can get punched in, the face. It hurts, and it ruins your whole week. That's how I've always gauged fans, by the way. A lot of times fans try to say, I'm a better fan than you because I go to the games. which I don't buy. Some people can't go. Some people can't afford it. Or I'm a better fan because I got more Raider hats. I went out and bought the real jersey. You got the knockoff. You got the one from Ross. That is not how I gauge a real fan. A real fan, and by the way, I would never judge somebody else's fandom, but in my mind, a real fan is if you really care whether they win or lose. And the Raiders lose, are you sour? In my older years, as I'm more mature and I have a better perspective of things, a Raider loss, unless it's a playoff loss, doesn't hurt me as long. When I was younger, in the middle of three brothers, we would have to watch the game in different rooms. At a downstairs TV, an upstairs TV, and then this old little black and white transistor TV. Because if we didn't, we would kill each other. We would throw hammers and, yeah, it was bad. It was more life and death back then. So I can't imagine just, and I understand David was tongue-in-cheek with that. But I know there are. I've talked to some Niner fans who said, just don't be stupid and start winning games. There's no Andrew Luck, dude. Just take your chances. I don't care if you pick sixth. Look where Khalil Mack landed in the draft at five. Don't be so hyped up that you have to get two when three might be the guy. So I'm here to try to lend some perspective for you that way. You make more money, you won't make more time. If you want your team to win, then root for them to win. Nothing is guaranteed in the future. I think the last time I actually wanted my team to lose was the Warriors, the worst team in basketball. Let's get Patrick Ewing. And then they invented this lottery thing. They picked the Warriors' name first. Al Addle said yay. And they go, no, Al, that means you pick last. Then we found out the card was frozen and it was a fix just to get Patrick Ewing in New York because everything in New York matters more than it does in California. Get it, got it, good. All right, we're talking Raider football. We're talking football in general, sports. Come on back, Rick Tittle, 95.7 again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.